Hello, Badger fans, and welcome to another edition of Bucky's Fifth Podcast. As always, Tyler Hunt and Matt Bells here covering everything Wisconsin athletics. On today's show, we've got a good amount of news and stuff to get to on the football side. We've got a little bit of basketball talk with the red-white scrimmage. We'll also go over the injury and depth chart with the recent announcement on Monday. We've got a few notable injuries to take account of as we look forward to Saturday with Purdue. And then in the back half of the show, we'll get into our recap and breakdown of the Army contest. Of course, a Badger W. Some takeaways, really a game that flew by, not a ton of things you can take, but still some notable things to get into with that contest as the Badgers, of course, pick up a W and look forward to getting back into Big Ten West play. Matt, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Yeah, it's kind of been a wild weekend, running on fumes a little bit, but excited to be back and ready to talk about that Army game because there's a lot that kind of happened on and off the field following that Army game.
Well, that transitions us nicely into our news segment, so why don't we get into that? We'll start with the positive on the news. Braylon Allen named Big Ten Freshman of the Week with his performance on Saturday. Not really all that surprising. There's a limited amount of freshmen, making huge roles at the Big Ten level right now, but I don't think that anyone is going out there and doing what Braylon Allen is doing, so really impressive performance from him. I know it's a broken record at this point, but still a 17-year-old kid and seeming to really progress fastly. I mean, we went and we talked about him early in the season, hopefully seeing some time to all of a sudden going and being, the top contributor for a team that loves to run the football and really seeming to really grow into a really good player before our eyes over the last couple of weeks. Just an incredible progression from him. So what did you make of him getting that award and how nice it is to see that a guy like him, who we've raved about and watched for, since early in almost his high school career, to finally be getting on that big stage and getting some well-deserved recognition.
Yeah, I thought you saw him play really well. He made stuff out of nothing, right? Mm-hmm. Like you didn't see a lot from the offense in terms of moving the ball, but he had that nice 33-yard touchdown, looked good, was able to bounce it outside. And he continues to show that he's probably the most talented running back that they have on the roster at this point in terms of his ability to make guys miss, break some tackles, average 6.8 yards a carry. Like he's got the talent. I think that recognition is great for him. And hopefully that continues to just boost his confidence because he just continues to play better and better each week. And I think that that's positive for an offense that really needs that, needs it to establish a running game and needs to have a guy that you can turn to and point to and say, yep, that's their best player on the offense. Right now, he's probably their best player on the offense. I know people will say, well, Jake Ferguson, but right now, Jake Ferguson doesn't always get the opportunities, whereas Braylon Allen is getting 16 carries a game or so, sometimes more, where you can say, yep, that's your guy that you can easily get the ball to and trust and count on to make some plays, and he's lived up to that so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. A guy like Jake Ferguson, you say hard to, easy to get the ball to. It's much easier right now to get the ball in Braylon Allen's hand than it is to get it in Jake Ferguson's hands. And there's only a couple ways to do that, and that's throwing the football. And right now, we'll talk about that a little later in the show, but right now the passing game is still continuing to struggle. But it's nice to, when you're in those situations, have a guy that you can really lean on, a big, strong back like that. I mean, Ches Malusi does a lot of good stuff well. I think, again, we've talked about it time and time again, these two complement each other really well. One more of a power back, one more of a speed back. But right now you're going to lean on Braylon Allen, and hopefully he continues to take those steps forward and continue to be a better player because he's going to get more and more carries, more and more reliance, and hopefully the rest of the offense can come alive and open some things up and find some more balance. But right now, it's crazy. You know, coming into the season, you didn't expect to be leaning on a kid like this. You expected him to be getting some time and maybe show some flashes. But now all of a sudden, he's the focal point of your offense. So I think that just shows the talent that he's got and how quickly that has came out and shown itself as to be a really prevalent spot for the Badgers moving forward.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll get into the next piece of news. This one a little bit more unfortunate was wide receiver Devin Chandler has announced that he is entering the transfer portal. He talked to The Athletic, and I think the big takeaway from there is he cited, and I quote, "We have plenty of receivers in our room who just straight up make plays, and very rarely throughout the game will they be given the opportunities for that." So we've seen a lot of Devin Chandler in the kick return game, have not seen him at all really in the passing game. I mean, again, the passing game hasn't been super prevalent, so the guys that are getting the opportunities are the normal names that we're used to seeing, Danny Davis, Kendrick Pryor, of course, seeing a lot of Chimere Dike, a lot of Jack Dunn, have not seen a lot of Devin Chandler. So I suppose when you take a breath and think about it, it's not all that surprising. I think Devin Chandler is a really talented player that was hoping to have more opportunities than just being a kick returner, but certainly one for Wisconsin that stings a little bit. He's it's a very talented player, got a lot of speed, does some different stuff. So the Badgers will probably be missing him at some point, but right now we just haven't seen a ton from him to know how big of an impact that departure will have.
Yeah, and I think the bigger thing isn't necessarily this year, but next year. Mm-hmm. When you're looking at the fact that three of your top four listed wide receivers are going to be gone, right? Like, they all have hit a point where Jack Dunn isn't going to be back for his ninth season, luckily. But I think you look at this, and there's definite frustrations, I think, for the team across the board. I think this kind of points to that more than anything. I know 247 also had something, a quote out there that was circulated on Twitter that basically he had kind of made up his mind after fall camp that he was probably going to transfer. I'm surprised to do it in the middle of the year where you've six games in, you can't really go anywhere yet. You have to finish up the semester, otherwise you're not going to be eligible. So that was kind of confusing. But I do think it points to frustration. I think it points to some questioning of, why is he maybe not your fourth wide receiver? I know we've both seen a lot more from him in terms of practices and making some nice catches. I mean, you look at that red-white scrimmage. We're going to talk about that here in a second. But the open spring practice and fall practice that happened, and he's made nice plays in both of those, acrobatic catches, and to then see a 5'7 walk-on be out there for mostly blocking is kind of frustrating. And I understand that for the kid. And I hope there is not going to be more players who are take this route, as seeing kind of some of the frustrations with the offense, the inability to really get the passing game going this year, really get anything going on the offense this year compared to years past. But in the end, it's whatever in his best interest, and he sees that as in his best interest, so best of luck to him. But I do think it's definitely a blow in terms of next year, because I do think that he was probably going to be one of your top three. He would have probably been like a slot guy. Between him, Marcus Allen, and as well as Chimere Dike. So I think that there is going to be some questions. We'll see if the Badgers can bring another wide receiver to kind of fill that hole. I would expect that maybe they try to bring in another wide receiver this class, or a running back / wide receiver, somebody that can give them a little something different. When you consider the fact that they've lost two of their better players off the 2020 class. And I know you look at the Berger section, we talked about that last week, and that's more about the kid not holding up his end of the bargain and having some off the field stuff. But this is a kid who had flashed a little bit. I mean, he wasn't doing anything miraculous by any means in the return game. Like, this isn't something to where it's not Aaron Cruickshank here, right? Like, it's not the same level there. He got his only return against Army was 14 yards. So, but it's still frustrating to see young talent leave when you are searching for talent to be there next year and for a spark on your offense. Like,
yeah.
It's hard to see.
Yeah, I think that's the main point that you can really point to and say there's got to be frustration from the fan base there, because, you know, it'd be one thing if the offense was firing on all cylinders and you were having explosive plays from the wide receiver room. And of course, part of that is the other parts of the offensive side of the football. The quarterback play isn't great. The offensive line is not held up their end of the deal. So, yes, that part affects the passing game too. But you're not seeing a ton of big plays, a ton of explosive plays, and really a ton of receptions at all. So you would think if a guy like him in terms of the talent that we've seen, and maybe there's other situations, maybe in practice he doesn't show up, but like you used to mention, you know, in the limited practices that we were able to see, Devin Chandler was the guy that was in there making plays. And, of course, we saw that glimpse last year. So it's the natural progression would have been to see him in that rotation. And maybe that's just part of college football now where, you know, guys want to play early or want to play more in an earlier situation. And if they don't, the transfer portal is an option for them. And if they feel that's their best way to go, that's totally understandable. But I think for Wisconsin's sake, it's a little bit more of a head scratcher for the Badgers end, because you talk about it, there's talent there. They're clearly looking for someone to provide those explosive plays. I'm not saying that Devin Chandler would have stepped in and been a top target and changed the entire dynamic of the offense, but you really didn't get even a glimpse to see if there was an opportunity there where he could be a guy that could do that for you. So I think that part is a little bit head-scratching. I know there was multiple frustrations from various Twitter, you know, Badger Twitter out there, and rightfully so. I think it's just more of a puzzling announcement that a player, a young, talented player, is going to be at a position where, like you mentioned, they're going to be thin next year. It is certainly something that you can understand the frustration across the board when a guy like that unfortunately leaves the program.
For sure. And, I mean, I'll come back to it. Like, you look at it right now, they have four guys who have more than 10 receptions, and then a bunch of guys who are kind of in the 3 through 2 receptions. Jack Dunn has 0, and Jack Dunn has gotten a hell of a lot of snaps this year. So if he's not giving you something in the passing game, maybe try one of the younger guys who has probably a higher ceiling, and I won't even say high, probably. He has a higher ceiling. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I think if you look at it, based off of his comments, based on things, that seems to have rubbed him the wrong way, and I understand that. And so it's like I would be feeling the exact same thing if I was a 6'2" kid who could run really fast and had made some plays in camp, and you see a 5'7" walk on getting those snaps over you, and where he's not getting any receptions either. So frustrating. And like I said, Jack Dunn is a super nice kid, but it is one of those things where That is tough when there's kids, you know, all trying to get out there on the field, and there's only so many snaps going around.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head with that one. So why don't we go ahead? We'll move right into our next piece of news, because that one was pretty much all buttoned up. I think your comments are exactly what a lot of the fan base is feeling. We'll move into now some basketball talk with the red-white scrimmage. Went on this past weekend. Some standouts. I know, unfortunately, a lot of people were excited to see Chucky Hepburn and Lauren Bowman. They were both held out due to some day-to-day injuries, so didn't get a big glimpse of them. But I think some things stood out. I know a lot of the bigs, the forwards, some guys really looked good. Jonathan Davis looked explosive, which isn't a big surprise. But what were your kind of takeaways from the red-white scrimmage from this past weekend?
Yeah, I think it's hard to take too much from a scrimmage like this. Just because you're going, you know, team on team here, but it was good to hear some of the things about the bigs, like you mentioned. I do think that not having those two guards, that I think that was really what this team needs, is some clarity at the one guard, and that wasn't kind of provided here, right? Like, I think one thing that does flash is that Jacoby Neath is probably not going to be the shooter that you need at your point guard spot, and is a late game guy. So I think that even though Hepburn didn't play, I think it points towards Hepburn being the guy even more so. And so I think that's one of the takeaways for me, at least, from that. And we'll see what this team is. I think that's the big thing. I think you also look at it, and I do think that your younger bigs like Steven Crowell, Ben Carlson are probably going to play a little bit more than the transfer Vogt as well. He's a little stiff. He's got some size, can help you out on defense, but pretty limited offensively. So I'm interested to see where a lot of the scoring is going to come from other than Johnny Davis and Brad Davison. And I do think that it was a really nice thing that Brad Davison did come back. I know a lot of Big Ten fans are probably not happy about that, but I do think that he's going to bring some stability and help this team when they need some guidance. So I think overall, tough to take too much from this. Right, like you don't want to look at a scrimmage and be like, oh my gosh, all these different things. But overall, I do think that it leads towards Hepburn's probably your guy at point guard, and he didn't even play. That would be my one thing that I would take from it.
Yeah, it seems like he's almost cemented into that role, which will be exciting to see, you know, a young, talented player, again, that we followed for a long time through his recruiting to be in that rotation, but for him not to be out there was, you know, Not a disappointment. You want him to be healthy. It's just a scrimmage, and you wanted to, of course, get your first glimpse at a player like that. But I think from the sounds of it, you'll have plenty of opportunities to see him very soon. Yeah, the rest of the takeaways, yeah, like you mentioned, I think you can't take anything too much away in terms of positives. I think the big thing is it didn't seem like there was a ton of negatives that stood out. There was nothing that all of a sudden people saw and went, oh, my God, this is going to be a problem. And some problems will certainly pop up with this team. This isn't going to be a perfect team by any means. But I think there was no major negative standouts, no injuries, nothing like that. So moving forward, again, you know, I know I've said it a couple times, but I'm getting more excited to see what this team can bring. Some of these young bigs, these young guards, you know, that fresh influx of talent, and that youth movement will be a lot of fun to pay attention to. But the other thing that it sounds like the Badgers played a little bit more up tempo. Now that's just a scrimmage, but when you're going against guys that you're familiar with, that was an interesting little added layer. But again, nothing too crazy to take from this team, and we'll see how they progress. But excited to see what this group could bring to the court as basketball season gets around the corner. I know the NBA is, of course, tipping off tonight, and college basketball will be here before we know it.
Yeah, it's definitely coming quick. Do we want to jump into the depth chart and injury report here for the Purdue week? Because that game just got a lot more interesting.
Yeah, that game is certainly a big one now with the Big Ten West, certainly almost kind of wide open for really anybody but the Illinois and Nebraskas of the world to try and take the reins. And this game will go a long ways in deciding that, with Purdue and Wisconsin still somehow in the mix as they move forward here. But, yeah, in terms of the injury report for this week, questionable are Logan Brust, tight end Clay Cundiff, Mike Mascalunas, an inside linebacker, outside linebacker Spencer Lytle, and, of course, Jack Eschenbach is the big new player that will be out. So, and, of course, I don't believe we talked last time, Isaac Arendo out for the season with a leg injury. I don't think we've touched on that on the show, so some big guys that are going to be questionable, some important players out, and, of course, Grendo, while we've seen him in limited capacity, and, of course, Braylon Allen will help take on some of that role now as your 1-2 punch with Chesma Lucy regardless. Still a tough blow for a kid like that, though everyone's been excited for. Just this injury bug continues to pop up for him. So what did you take from the depth chart and the injury report for this week?
Yeah, Braylon Allen's now the number 2 back, you know, definitively with Garendo out. You got a feel for Garendo, man. Mm-hmm. Like, just it's been that hamstring. I don't know if it's necessarily the exact same thing. He had surgery here recently, so he's down for the season. Daron Harrell, like, it's just kind of funny at this point. He's just been out. Mm-hmm. He's been on the team for forever, but hasn't really played the past few years. But he's out for the season as well. Hopefully everything will go well for him. But I think the loss of Jack Eschenbach is a fairly big one. And Aaron Witt, like, where has he been? He's been out for this whole time. I think at this point you got to wonder if he's going to come back this year. Same with Jordan Turner. They've just been out for so long now. And hopefully you get a guy like Logan Brust back. Clay Cundiff, I think, would also really help this team out. Spencer Lytle. So I think you're looking at some fairly big injuries there that I think it would be really nice to have back for Purdue. Spencer Lytle, with given the way that Purdue runs their offense, having a kid who can play in space at that outside linebacker position would be nice to have. And then Cundiff, with Aschenbach out, Cundiff was kind of emerging. So hopefully he can get back and help this team out, because I do think he is probably your second best pass catcher in the tight end room behind Ferguson. And, you know, Cam Large has seen a little bit more playing time. Hayden Rucci has seen a little bit more playing time, but we haven't really necessarily seen them get any targets. Mm-hmm. I mean, they even brought Cormac Sampson in to play a little bit of tight end at number 46, which was kind of funny. I laugh every time I see that they switch numbers like that, and you've got a big hog molly throwing on a receiving number. So overall, I think they're in a good spot, but I do think, given what Purdue has, getting Logan Bruss back would be nice. I know he struggled this year, but he's been your starter most likely for a reason for a while.
Yeah, I think all of these injuries are significant ones that you're going to want for Saturday if you can get them healthy. Especially, you know, of course, with Jack Aschenbach out, you would like to certainly be able to rely on Clay Cundiff, and hopefully he can progress his way back. As you mentioned with Bruss, that Purdue front seven, you know, we're not used to talking about when you talk Purdue, a strong defense, but we'll get into our episode later in the week. This group is pretty good. Of course, Karlaftis up front is a big problem for a lot of teams, so having your offensive line ready to go and buttoned up would certainly be something as you move forward here. Mike Mascalunas, always a good guy to have. You never know when injuries are going to pop up, so hopefully he can be a go. And then Spencer Lytle, you mentioned it. You know, Purdue likes to throw the ball short in space, so a guy like him who at the outside linebacker position can cover a little bit would certainly be something where you could see him worked into a little bit more of the rotation this week if he is able to go. So certainly some injuries that will be notable to pay attention to. Hopefully you can get, you know, a couple of these guys back and ready to go for Saturday, because this will be a huge contest and you want to have all hands on deck, because the winner of this game, like we said a little bit ago, a winner here can kind of take not the reins, but take another step toward controlling their own destiny in the Big Ten West. Both teams could really benefit from this victory, and the loser likely gets, you know, knocked out of contention for that division as we move forward here. So a lot of big wrinkles that will be added to this Purdue game after their upset win over Iowa.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, with that, why don't we go ahead, we'll get our ad reads out of the way, and then we'll get into our recap of Army. So stick with us, guys. We'll be back with you shortly.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday, and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
All right, so let's go ahead and dive into this Army contest. Of course, a game really, I mean, we knew it was going to be a quick game. That game probably would have been over with an hour and a half if there weren't so many dang TV timeouts with the Big Ten Network. A lot of running, Wisconsin. I think we can start offensively with where they were at. We've talked about Braylon Allen. He was great. The running game did just enough with those, him and Chaz Malusi, to get them a victory. Passing game, we can maybe talk about in its own capacity. A little bit of a struggle there once again, but at this point, not really all that surprising. I mean, this is kind of where the offense is. You're hoping for more, but I'm not going to sit here and hold my breath every week that we're going to see more from the passing game. It just kind of seems like that's where they're at. I know that's frustrating for a lot of the fans that are wondering, you know, about the play calling and the explosiveness of this offense. But, you know, we're getting close to November here, folks. So I think we know kind of what this offense is going to bring. You can sit here and hope for more, but I don't think you necessarily want to hold your breath, because I think right now, as we move forward, maybe that'll change with Braylon Allen getting a little bit more focused. But right now, this is kind of where the offense is at.
Yeah, it is what it is. You're right. Like it just kind of gotten to there. And I think that knowing that, I know personally, I've come to terms with that, and you know, for better or worse. And I hope that they, you know, make some nice giant strides over the next six games. But at the same time, I look at it as, yeah, this is what it is. There is these inconsistencies have become consistencies, and they need to fix things in the off season. It's not going to be something that's going to be most likely remedied right now or against Purdue all of a sudden magically. It could, but I just don't see it. Instead, let's dive into this. Braylon Allen, we talked about already for a while. I thought he did some nice things. I continue to come back to, though, that the running game just isn't great. Like, it's not dynamic to a point where you would hope the Wisconsin offense to be, the run game to be. The offensive line isn't necessarily getting the push that you need. The Army has a good defense against the run. They have been all year long. They came into it one of the tops in the country for a reason. But you look at the size differential, and you would have hoped that the Wisconsin offensive line could have gotten a little bit more movement. I mean, Braylon Allen's longest run, that 33-yarder, and it came off of a broken play. Like, you looked at it, he basically ran into the line, saw daylight to the left, and ran for it, which was great. Like, that was a nice adjustment for him. I don't necessarily think that we would have seen a touchdown there from any of the other backs that the Badgers have, because it seems like they put their head down and they're like, I'm just going to try to keep going. So good on Braylon Allen to be able to see the daylight and run towards it. But I do think that is concerning, that's what it takes for them to get that 33-yard play. We haven't necessarily seen those big plays that the Badgers need. They hit on a 36-yard pass, which was nice to see. But Braylon Allen, that, you know, making lemonade out of lemons there. Ches Moussi, I thought, ran pretty well as well when he had some space. Both of those two did some good, nice things. Graham Mertz, that bootleg, he did a couple nice things on the run. It seems like that was an adjustment that they made, was, okay, you're not seeing anything, you know, take off and run. I don't necessarily know if that's something we need more of in the offense, right? Like, he's not, like, all of a sudden going to be a dual threat quarterback by any stretch of the imagination. And knowing what they have behind him, you're not in a good space if he gets hurt. So hopefully they can keep him clean if he is going to be running a little bit more, and he can make good decisions about when to get down. But yeah, I mean, overall, the running game, not a whole lot to take from it in terms of, you know, straight, you know, rainbows here. But overall, they did fine. They did enough to win. And really, I think this team is winning despite their offense. They really are. And so I think there's not much more we can make out of the running game until we see a drastic improvement from them.
Yeah, yeah. And I like the point that you brought up with the Army defensive line and their size. You know, Wisconsin teams of old, well, and you do have to give credit to Army. I mean, coming into that game, I didn't think their defense was as good as the numbers indicated, because they hadn't played a ton of talented teams, a ton of talented rushing offenses. So I expected, you know, Wisconsin offenses of old would have went there and said, you know what, these guys are undersized. We've got, you know, big five guys up front. We've got backs that we can rely on, and we're just going to go and ground it and pound it and lean on these defenders and bust the big plays. And really, that wasn't the case. You mentioned it. The one big play in the run game was a play that was stuffed, and it was a beautiful read by Braylon Allen to get out there and burst away and score a touchdown, but it wasn't something that you could rely on. You know, you don't want to be relying on broken plays to get you points, because generally they're going to get stuffed up, and it was just a stroke of luck that he saw that and got out there and then made that play. So I think that's the concerning part, is once again, you know, the holes just aren't really there. I credit to Braylon Allen for making a lot, and Ches Moussi for making some runs a little bit better and getting through some holes and busting some plays. But right now, I think right now you're just not seeing the offensive line really dominate the way you want to. And that's nothing new. That's been all season long. This offensive line is not the same of years past. And until that gets figured out, you're going to have some issues in the run game. The passing game, you can't sit here and blame it all on the offensive line. the quarterback play needs to be better. But there's certainly been some times where some throws are rushed. And you know, Paul Christen's presser yesterday talked about rhythm, trying to get Graham Mertz in a rhythm. When you've got some pressure and you have to look to one read really quickly, you know, the rhythm can be thrown off. So it's a collective effort. It's not just one segment of the offense that's leading to the struggle. I think everybody needs to be better. But and at this point, we're halfway through the season. So some of these improvements as you get back into Big Ten West play, maybe they're just trying to win this Army game and get through it as since it's a weird non-conference game late in the season, and now they can refocus to get the Big Ten West play. But let's hope that that's the case because they're going to need to refocus quickly and get some of these things going because now you're taking on a good Purdue team with a very good offense and a defense that is much improved from Purdue teams of old.
Oh, absolutely. But, yeah, I think you look at it, offensive line needs to be better, quarterback needs to be better. So I guess that's a good time to talk about the passing game because I think the running game is doing what they can based off of what they've given. I honestly think that Braylon Allen gives them a little bit more in the running game because he doesn't go it down with those arm tackles. Mm-hmm. Right? He breaks through it, can get a little extra, those extra 3 yards that he can get falling forward because of his size, because of his strength. And honestly, I think he's just as fast as the other backs. I mean, other than Garendo, who's no longer available, I think he's just as fast as them. Like, I don't see a huge thing where all of a sudden Chez is, like, that much faster than him. He's a little quicker, but the ability to break those arm tackles is something that I think Braylon Allen gives them that helps this offensive line a little bit, makes them look a little bit better. But passing game is still not there. It's just still a work in progress in it. I keep coming back to you remember Aberdare's days where it was like they had one guy and you knew where the ball was going to? And it was somewhat like that last 2 years ago with Cephas. Like, really, there was one guy. They don't necessarily have that this year. And I almost think they need that because it seems like Mertz is going into the game and this is my guy I'm going to try to get it to. And we saw Danny Davis get involved a little bit more, Jake Ferguson get involved a little bit more. But then from there, it was nothing. Like, eight receptions across the board here. Kendrick Pryor getting one touch, Tim Radike getting one touch, and a whole lot of nothing. Like, it's wild to see that Army had just as many guys catch a reception as the Badgers. And there's just not a lot of, you know, spice and flavor going on with the passing game whatsoever.
No, not at all. I mean, you look at, 8 for 15 is just – and against an Army team that – you know, I kind of said it in last week. Generally, the secondaries of some of these triple option teams aren't as great because they go against triple option in practice. They don't go against the pass as much. So you would have hoped maybe if there were some glimpses to get this passing offense right, this would maybe be the game. And that was not the case. I mean, 8 for 15 really was just trying to keep it as sheltered as possible, hit some throws that you felt like you could, and then just try to keep some things moving enough offensively to put points on the board. So I think that part was the kind of turning spot. I mean, all these guys are like you mentioned, if they had a go-to guy, they want to try and get the ball. I think all three, you know, Pryor, Davis, Ferguson work really well off of each other and can maybe get each other open. But right now, if the quarterback isn't able to make those reads and get the ball and it's just doing that one read, you know, predetermined, like you're playing Madden, hey, I'm going to throw it to this guy. If it's not there, I mean, you know, who knows what's going to happen. Until that changes and he gets to progressing through some of these reads and finding the open of the three versus just trying to force it to one of them, I think you're continuing to see these struggles. And I think that part is also reflects on some of the play calling. I mean, right now, if you just don't feel confident to put some of these other wrinkles in the passing game because you're not getting the base stuff down, that's something that is certainly going to hamper your offense as you move forward here. But again, it's the halfway point, and at this point we've seen that passing offense. Other than that, those couple drives against Michigan, this has been the passing offense of all season long. And until we are proven otherwise, that's what I'm kind of going into each game expecting, and hopefully the defense and the limited amount of run game can find a way to win, because you can't go into a game saying, yeah, we're gonna throw the ball on this team and move the ball that way, because it's not happening, and it has not happened outside of a couple nice drives from the Michigan Wolverines.
Yeah, and you look at it, and Army has, like, I guess two guys that I would look at and say, yeah, those are really solid players that would probably be putting up a fight to be playing time with the Badgers. Broughton, their safety, was really good. Andre Carter, I thought he might have been the best player on the field in the trenches between Wisconsin's offensive line and their front seven. I thought he was probably the kid that you looked at and said, yeah, that's the NFL guy, which is scary when you consider that Wisconsin should be the team that has that. But he had the block punt. He had that forced fumble, had the sack, couple tackles for loss, and he's, 6'7", 255. We talked about him coming into it, but the offensive line still kind of struggled in pass pro from time to time and didn't give Mertz great opportunities. But when there was time, there was some missed chances. I keep coming back to where are the easy throws to help this team out to get your playmakers the ball. I mean, this kind of goes back to what Devin Chandler was saying about why is Tim Radike, why are Kendrick Pryor getting one touch? Why aren't they trying to get them involved in other ways that aren't necessarily just that? And I know that Kendrick Pryor had the -3 on the one jet sweep that they did, which is, once again, not great for the offensive line, but where are the now routes? Where are the bubble screen quick to get out? When you see a guy playing 10 yards off, why aren't you just flipping that out there? Like that's the easy throw. We saw them do a sprint out, and they got a nice 10-yard gain out of it. So I want to see more of that. Like where are those quick now routes that it's not even something that you have to call. It's just that's an audible. I mean, we had that in high school at a run-heavy team, and so if we could do it, they can clearly do it. So where is that hot route to be able to put that in and say, okay, guys, 10 yards off, let's put that hot route in and let's get the extra 6 yards that they're just gift-wrapping you and put some pressure on the outside instead of making it so that everybody can just clog up everything in the inside and say, well, you're going to have to try to beat us over the top. And so try to get the ball outside a little bit more and let these playmakers make a play, because we saw Danny Davis when they threw the ball deep and gave him a shot to it, he made a hell of a catch and was able to come down with it. So I agree. These guys need to get more touches and you need to find more creative ways to do it, because this offense is just so bland and vanilla right now. And I know that's, because of some of the line, the quarterback play, like it doesn't give you a lot to work with, but there needs to be some things to make changes to make a difference, because Army made changes in mid-game that affected Wisconsin. You just don't see the adjustments being made right now with this offense, and that's concerning to me, because there are plays out there that they leave on the field that you look at it and it's like, yep, that's 10 yards. If you Rodgers throws it right to Davante Adams that second. And, obviously a totally different sport almost, the NFL versus college football at times. But it's there, and it needs to just – it's so easy to make that throw and get your 5 yards at least.
Yeah, I mean, look at you'll definitely see that this upcoming weekend from the opponent. I mean, you look at a team like Purdue. I was looking at some stats the other day, Aiden O'Connell, in terms of his average completions, like 4-point-something yards. I mean, it's just quick throws. Getting it to a player like David Bell, we'll talk about ad nauseum later in the week. But
oh my God, that's stressful.
Yeah, exactly, right. That's going to be one that will keep Paul Chryst and Jim Leonard up at night for sure as we move forward for him. But it's very similar to that. I mean, just quick throws. Now Wisconsin, I would argue, yeah, they've got a David Bell that they can get the ball to. But I think Kendrick Pryor, maybe not, and Danny Davis, maybe not on that exact level, but you can also find some wrinkles to get them those quick throws to allow them to make a play. Even a quick passes to Jake Ferguson. Now they've tried those a little bit more, but it just, even when they do, it seems like it's a pain for them to even call something like that or get to that type of play. So offensively, I do agree. I think that's something that you could certainly look for in this group, and you hope to see it. But once again, until we see some of these adjustments made from the play calling, from the passing game, it's hard to really expect that. And you just kind of hope and pray that this is the week that we'll see more from the passing game as we move forward. But until proven otherwise, we'll probably have to expect to see a struggle and just kind of a hold on for dear life type of mentality from this offense.
Yep.
100%. All right, well, why don't we go ahead
and get to some of the better stuff over on the – I almost said gooder. Some of the better stuff on the other side of the ball.
Yeah, let's rave about this defense a little bit. That group looked really good. Of course, headlined by Leo Chenal, 17 tackles. Jack Sanborn had a great game. Scott Nelson had a really good game. I think he was the one – I mean, we both went into the game. We talked about it last week. We expected Sanborn and Chenal to just eat. I don't know if I expected, you know, I think the over-under for tackles for Chenal, I'd probably put it like 12 or 13. So to see him get up to 17, all of a sudden, I mean, he was just, there was nothing Army could do. They made some adjustments to try and stop him, but he was a kid that was just in there. Jack Sanborn, again, played really well. Nelson, I think coming down from the safety spot was really good and shows that he can help in the run game, which is huge. We've seen that from him in his career already. There's some other guys. CJ Gatz looked pretty good in his time there. So overall, we can just rant and rave about the defense, the linebackers, the defensive line. Once again, all of them looked really solid. And yeah, just keeps this team in a game week in and week out.
Yeah, I mean, they won them that game, mm-hmm. I would even say, just because you look at it and they lose that game if they don't get that forced fumble that Leo Chenal created. And that then Keanu Benton recovered. Like, I thought that was the game. Really, you look at the second half, Wisconsin couldn't do anything offensively. That third quarter was a snooze fest. And Leo Chenal just kind of made that play, gave them an opportunity in a really short field, and they took advantage. But I thought the game plan by Jim Leonard was really, really sound. I thought that was maybe the difference in the game in a lot of ways as well, was he put his players in a really great position to win this game. He had Chenal just shooting the A-gap and knifing through every time and just drilling the quarterback. That was his read. It was he was taking advantage of Army splits, cutting through and just going after the quarterback every single time. He wasn't worried about anybody else because he knew. I mean, Army does rely on their quarterback to run a lot. And if you have Keanu Benton in the middle, you have another guy like Jack Sanborn, you know that, hey, if they are going to be able to stop the fullback, I can just totally focus on the quarterback. And he took advantage of that. Mm-hmm. I was really impressed. Leo was timing the snap. He had everything going. I mean, it took Army a while to figure out that, hey, maybe we should use a different snap count. But I thought Chenal was really impressive. But for Leonard to kind of make that adjustment and pop down C.J. Getz as the defensive end and have him be able to crash down towards the fullback as well, I thought that was a really nice read. I thought C.J. Getz was like your under-the-radar mm-hmm. type kid that like really made a hell of a play. The first quarter, he had, I think, three or four tackles right away and really set a nice tone. 1.5 tackles per loss. He played really well. And that hit by Herbig on the quarterback mm-hmm. was, you know, when they did try to counter option, he freaking drilled him into next year. I was really impressed by this defense in the front seven. They did what we thought they would do in terms of not being able to allow them to really run the ball too much. Army got theirs, but the pass defense was bad. It just was. With that long of 36 there late in the game, I know that it was against a guy who's a little farther down on the depth chart at safety, but it's harder to see that they're able to kind of make those plays over the top against the Wisconsin defense. That's concerning. But overall, I think in general, they had a nice scheme. They did some nice things specifically for the first 2.5 quarters. I thought this defense was absolutely dominant.
Yeah, they were lights out. And really, all the guys that you mentioned were the big reason for that. I mean, the front seven, once again, just continues to show that, you know, even – and I thought this would be a really good test for them. I mean, it's just a different thing. You're not used to seeing – you're generally not blitzing. You're playing all assignment football. So I think this is a really good test for this defense that just showed, hey, yeah, we're as good as we've looked. It doesn't matter if you run the triple option. It doesn't matter if you run the spread, the pro, whatever you want to come bring at this front seven, it's likely going to be shut down in some way, shape, or form. I'm glad that you mentioned the secondary. I think some of those were just head-scratching plays. I mean, late in the game when, you know, it's that this team, like Army, is not built to come from behind. When, you know, they want to be ahead, use the triple option to run the clock out. When they're behind, they eventually have to go to the pass, and you kind of knew eventually that was going to come, and they still were able to hit some big plays there. So that was certainly a little frustrating, and we'll need to get cleaned up. because now all of a sudden it's going to be a weird transition to go from focusing and assignment football. You know they're going to run the ball with a lot of different wrinkles to all of a sudden a team that does not run the ball at all and is throwing it all over the field with a lot of different wrinkles with David Bell, three quarterbacks, all sorts of stuff. So that's going to be an interesting wrinkle to watch as this team moves forward. But I think you feel good about the front seven. Now all of a sudden you just need to see some more from the secondary in terms of the pass coverage, because getting hit for big plays against the pass isn't anything new. We saw that this season with Jahan Dotson. We saw it with Michigan get some big plays and get loose. So I think that's the one area, while you talk about how good this defense is, where you can start to, again, you're halfway through the season now. Now you can start to really have, I don't want to say as big of, it's nowhere as big of a concern as the offensive side of the ball, but it still is a little bit where that secondary getting hit for some of these plays is a little bit concerning as you move forward back into Big Ten play. And they're not going to take on a ton of great offenses the rest of the way in terms of passing, but you're going to get one this week against Purdue.
Yeah, well, you're going to have a playmaker on the outside that you got to account for, and that's the biggest thing. So, but I also want to give credit to Army and their second half adjustments. I thought that was something that really jumped out. Jeff Munkin's been doing this for a while, right? Like whether he was at South Alabama or whether it's now at Army, there's a reason that they win a ton of football games, and it's because they're really well coached. I thought you look at it, and Wisconsin started really just flowing to the ball fast and did it some nice things with getting to it. Leo Chenal just getting in there. And, Wisconsin was just trying to, do those A-gap blitz right away, taking advantage of Army splits. And so what they did was they went to the counter option and where you're fake one way and then pop go the other way. And that first touchdown drive they put together that's all they did. I mean, they just – every one of their big plays was off of the counter option where they're turning back the other way and then you're either pitching it or keeping it. And they got some nice runs out of that. And that was a really nice adjustment by them. I thought that was something that really swung the game a little bit. Wisconsin was kind of put on their heels because that was something completely different than what they had seen throughout the game. It was a little late for them to do it, but at the same time, I think the biggest thing is Wisconsin was able to get the W. I still worry about the offense, but this was a game where the defense picked them up even more so than normal because of that turnover and won them the game. And I think that was a big takeaway for me, as you saw the defense make the gigantic play that was needed to put away the game, and that was exciting to see.
Yeah, I think to kind of start to wrap it up here with this team and this win, like you mentioned, it was a win that they went in there, they got it done, they did enough to win the game. There were certainly concerns that you could take offensively, a little bit defensively with the secondary, but they got that victory. Some things happened outside, with Purdue knocking off Iowa, so all of a sudden the door's wide open for this team. I'm not going to sit here and say I expect them to go out and win the Big Ten West, but they have an opportunity in front of them. If they can continue to find ways to win games, in whatever ugly fashion they want to, they've got themselves a shot, and that will start, of course, this week with Purdue. The other concerns, maybe a little bit, a missed PAT, that's something you don't want. The late game not going for two, I know some people were kind of scratching their head about that. That was just didn't make any sense whatsoever. I mean, it's not really like an analytics Twitter or anything like that. It's just like basic
math. that was.
But at this point, I mean, I don't know. If you've ever listened to, and I know you have, Paul Chryst press conferences on Monday, there's always something that you leave there scratching your head at what he was trying to say. I think that was one where he was talking about it, and you're just sitting there going, I see your mouth moving. I see words coming out of it. I'm not getting what you're saying. So that wasn't great. But, again, this group found a way to win, and right now wins are better than losses, and you hope that some of these other outside issues can improve, because if they don't, you're likely not going to be talking about victories too much longer.
Yeah, I mean, when you boil this game down, Wisconsin still had to pull out a lot of different things. They had to get a late defensive play to put them down at about the 5-yard line in the second half because the offense was absolutely anemic in the second half. And you had to break out a fake punt to get one of your scores. And, yeah, I mean, the two-point Oh my God. Like I couldn't believe it. It just doesn't make sense. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You got to go for two there every single time. Every coach will tell you that. I mean, I'll go back to the Michigan game. Jim Harbaugh, when they were going for they went and scored their third touchdown to be up. At that point, they were up 19 on the Badgers, and they went for two. Just because, you know, that's not even analytics. It's, hey, let's make this – right now it's already a three-score game. We can make it three scores where they have to get three touchdowns. If we're able to convert here, it made no sense not to go for the two. And that was really a – that was frustrating to see in a lot of ways for me because there's no reason to take the points there. There's just, it's 1 point when you could get the two, make it a two touchdown game. Either way, they were going to need to score two touchdowns otherwise. So you give yourself a shot to at least go into overtime if they were to come back. So I don't get it. I will not get it. I hope that a decision like that doesn't come back to bite them later on because there's halfway through this season. If they make it to a bowl game as well, there'll be extra games. So they've got to clean up some of those things. And that comes down to coaching, but it also comes down to players making plays. Braylon Allen made a play. Leo Chenal made a play that really swung that game. And if those two don't make those individual efforts, it's who knows what that game looks like because it wasn't pretty in the second half.
It was not pretty whatsoever, and I think that's a good way to wrap this one up as we put a bow on this.
A win's a win, though, man. Yep, a win's exactly. A win.
find ways to win right now, despite the challenges. You know, that's all you can ask for in that contest. You can ask for more. You probably won't get it, but we'll see what else this team can bring as we move forward into past the halfway season, now into Big Ten West play, which at the end of the day, opportunities are still somehow in front of this team to make that jump and put themselves in a position to possibly win a Big Ten West title. And that starts with, of course, a huge contest against Purdue on Saturday. We will, of course, get into that game later in the week. But as for this episode, thank you guys for always listening. We really appreciate it. And we'll be back with you later in the week on Wisconsin. Da 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 da